Welcome to episode 202 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. How you going, Marty?
He's lost it.
Oh, you idiot.
He's lost it.
Yeah, you idiot.
He's lost it. We might as well push on that. Now.
It's silly.
Jace has done his best Haley Welch. It's not bad.
Jace.
I wonder if anyone will pick it up.
No, it was meant to be incognito. We're meant to roll in as if nothing had happened.
Incognito, you're coming off the back of...
Marty, if you want to see a guy fall off his chair, head to the YouTube video and see the start of this episode.
I'm trying to be a conservative white male in 2024, and you pull this sort of crap on me.
I can see the Daily Mail headline now. You know, three male numbers game hosts go stupid over it. Yeah. You know, anyway.
Yeah. Off air. Take it off air.
All good. It's silly hour at the numbers game. It's episode 202. Here we are today. Marty, bring it on. Let's go straight into it. I'm excited.
Well, I have a far more serious conversation than we started with here. But we've been talking to a lot of investors out there in the market. And there is some significant panic out there, and I thought I'd bring it to the table today and get your view on it, fellas, because I think it's significant. And as we know, people are doing it tough with cost of living going up. People have had 13 rate rises on their mortgages. But investors, it's incredible when there's pressure on the market that, you know, something's got to give. And I saw some really damning stats that rental stock has basically plummeted by 15,600 homes in Victoria in the past 12 months. And even more damning is that that's 10,400 homes in the last 3 months. I think landlords have just had enough. And I'm just not sure where this is going. And what I want to bring to the table is the fact that they really need to get professional advice, because like in the stock market goes up, everyone gets FOMO, wants to buy, stock market goes down, and immediately people are selling, think it's the end of the world. But again, you need to really understand the numbers behind the investment and why you got into it to the first place, because in time, you'll be leaving a lot of money on the table as to that investment actually going to its fullest potential. But these numbers are fascinating. Like new tenant letters have plummeted 11.8% in the year. So usually you see new tenancies going up by about 3.1% over the last 10 years, but that's now come down by 11.8% in 1 year. So definitely the rate rises, increase in general costs, increase in land taxes are making a difference. And I think it's just affordability across the board. And like Nick has said in previous episodes, there's lower levels of savings. So I think what's going on here is people feeling cash strapped on their own mortgages, their cost of living, and then going, oh, I now have to inject all this extra money into the investment. And I think it's particularly hitting the mums and dads that would have purchased their first investment in 2021. Rates were at 2.5%. They were feeling good about their future, and all of a sudden, it's a big wake-up call now in 2024. And I want to go into some of those numbers as well with you today. But are you hearing any of this from... I think this is the front precipice of something really changing in the dynamic of the residential market, particularly in Victoria. Jace, are you seeing this at all with investors, with your investors?
I'm seeing a few different things. The thing at the top of my mind just before I go into the investor side is just like the sheer competitiveness of the rental market at the moment. I mean, like the availability of rental properties, I think on average across the country is like 1%. There's 1% vacancy rate. So if you're trying to find a place to live, you know, rental properties are very hard to come by and get into at the moment. And, you know, it's getting tougher and tougher. I was talking to a client who was going to a rental property inspection. And yeah, there was 100 people lined up down the street competing for the same rental property. So, you know, I mean, that's a side byproduct of what we're talking about, but definitely seeing the numbers, we've got clients that are, if it wasn't for the negative gearing and wasn't for the tax refund that they're getting at tax time, they would have well and truly had to have sold their rental property and be out the door. And even at tax time, you know, I sat there and I was talking to some clients that were about $30,000 negatively geared the other day, and the conversation still, you know, can we afford it? What can we change? Can we do something different with our mortgage? Do we move into the investment property or, you know, sell our main residence? Like, all these different conversations start to come up when the cost structure of what you had bought, you know, as soon as 5 years ago, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, you achieved the dream of owning an investment property, which is, you know, it's a big part of the Aussie way of life, is to buy your first home and then set your goals on an investment property. And a lot of mum and dad investors, that's what they feel comfortable doing. You know, they don't necessarily want to have the big stock, you know, big investment in the stock market. They know bricks and mortar, so they want to buy a rental property. They understand it. But just how far the numbers have moved over 5 years has been shocking. And yeah, because I'm blessed to be on the other side of it and see the numbers, got an understanding of it. But yeah, the everyday punter who, let's say you are renting and you get annoyed that the rent has gone up so much over the last couple of years, it's quite possible that you don't understand the numbers behind the scenes that fuels the reason for why those rents have gone up.
And I think rents obviously have gone up significantly. I saw a stat saying 14.6% up from March year on year, and the average increases over the previous 10 years before that was 3.7%. So, which is pretty low in regards to the increase rate there. But 14.6% is significant. So the other problem it poses, obviously, low supply of rentals, but again, then affordability of a tenant being able to afford that rent too. But I guess if you've got limited stock, you can still get away with that. But it's and then when you look at it as a investor, you go, and Melbourne's only grown by around about 11% in capital growth over the last 3 or 4 years as well. So it's not usually a major event that brings the plane down. It's usually a number of different little things that ends up plummeting into a mountain. But I'm taking a read on this, and I'm going, there's a number of different things for those mums and dads that have got in to an investment in 21 and then now to the predicament that they're in now. And if it was a business, like you said, you want to be making money in business, but I hope we can provide some wider perspective on this, because there might be pros to keeping an investment property as well, because we still think that the market will go up in Melbourne once rates do decrease, and you don't want to miss out on that return as well. And you would have seen it in financial planning and investment, Nick, in regards to, you know, people not finding a strategy through a challenge period and then missing out on all the upside on the back end because of it. That happens quite a lot.
Yeah, look, it's really difficult conversations at the moment. And yeah, we had another one this morning with a new client that we just brought on. You know, property in Melbourne, had the property for a few years. It was now $25,000 negative from a cash flow point of view. And, you know, this is a family that earns good money. And, you know, we did bring this up on the podcast a couple of episodes ago or whatever it was, just around knowing your numbers. And, you know, I think we're talking about Victoria and, you know, it's tipped to do 21% return over the next 3 years. So if you can afford to hold it, you should do that. But that aside, I think people are less focused on the dollar or the money. And I just think people just don't want the stress anymore. So, you know, it's all good and well for us to sit here and say, well, you know, do your numbers. Can you afford to hold it? If you can, you should. Factor in your tax rebate. But I think people don't care anymore. There's an element of that. I just don't want to hold it. I don't want the stress of meeting that repayment every month. I can put that repayment into my mortgage and start to build up a bigger cash buffer, and that's going to help me sleep. I don't care if I can make an extra 100 grand or 150 if I hold it for the next 4 or 5 years. I'm just over it. So I guess we're seeing that, and we're just in that case, it's like, you know what? Okay, because the reality is no one wants to be stressed. That has, you know, other impacts. So it's a real worry, because at the same time you look at the issue of getting into a rental place. So you've just got this perfect storm where investors don't want to keep properties and renters can't rent them. And it's crazy to think that we're in this predicament at the moment. And you know, no one's moving in the same direction, and until they do, it's just going to be a bigger problem. And there's no solution around the corner. That's for sure.
Yeah, and a lot of those tenants can't get into housing as well. So in some situations, and there's not enough stock as well. So there's still, you know, there's still that issue that's causing some grief. And it's you're right, Nick. It's depending on who you talk to. Like I had spoke to a client this morning that had had their investment property for 10 years, and that's a different ballgame because they're virtually neutral on 6.5% interest rate, and they're excited because they're going, you know, they're getting their tax benefits and everything else, but they're going, oh, we're doing well given the circumstances. Rents have gone up, and then, you know, once interest rates come down, we're expecting another big capital improvement on that property. So they're in a position where they've been longer in the game, and it's a totally different circumstance. They've been able to ride it out comfortably. Whereas, you know, and I'll run through some numbers of a couple that bought an investment property in 2021 just to give you some context around it. So $650,000 investment loan, they were getting about $530 per week in rent, which is $27,560 per annum. Now they had a home loan at $650 at 2.5%. Can you believe that was actually a reality when you look at it now? And that's $16,250 in interest. They had agents' fees at 7%, insurance is $900, accountancy costs $500, rates at $1,100, maintenance at $1,200, and land tax was $575. So they actually had a cash flow benefit on that property of $5,106 per annum. So, and that's without even taking in the extra depreciation benefits and, you know, on the property. So that's a good scenario. Now we fast forward to now and we're looking at that same circumstance. Yes, rents have gone up to 600 per week for them. So they're getting 31,200 per annum in rent, but the 650,000 they borrowed is now at 6.8%. So 44,000 in interest costs, you know, compared to what it was before. Significant difference. Agents' fees up to 8%, $2,496. Insurances like virtually doubled, if not more, $1,800 per annum. Accountancy fees up $750. Rates up at $1,400. Land tax has gone up to $1,650 in Victoria, and maintenance up at $1,500. So they're at a negative cash loss, a cash loss of $22,396. Like that is a 27 grand turnaround, and that is significant. And people just don't like to feel poorer. Like that, you're right. It's like this is coming out of their own pocket, and they're just, you know, just not feeling very good about it. That's significant, boys, isn't it?
Those numbers, I think, you know, if you're a renter and you've thought, why did my rent go up? And this is bullshit, not fair. I think rewind, listen to those numbers again of, you know, the landlord or the person who's gone out of their way to try and buy a property and get ahead in life has gone from possibly making $5,000 and getting ahead for the risk they've taken back in 2021 to a negative $27,000 swing to be $22,000 out of pocket instead of $5,000 in the green. And that is why we're seeing rents significantly, well, rents have gone up, but they haven't significantly increased as much as what we've just seen, the cash loss that landlords or the property owners are copping because of just the sheer increase across the board. But I mean, look at that interest expense from $16,000 to $44,000.
That's the killer, right? And this is not, I'm not, obviously not on the side of the Vic government, of course, as you would appreciate, but land tax is not the problem. I can speak from experience. My landlord insurance has gone from $800 a year to $2,000. So it's really, and this is why we plead is the wrong word, but we really encourage people to see if they can hold, because those decrease in interest rates are not going to get back to where we were, but that's what's going to have the significant impact on cash flow. If we can get a, you know, some stage in 25% in 2025, if we get a 25-point rate cut, and then it should flow on from there, it's going to change the ball game.
I think the important thing to do, if you are holding a property and you are starting to look at the negative, the cash flow back out the other way, obviously assess your ability to live, ability to pay bills, ability to meet all the repayments. You know, for that example that Marty, you just said, if you know, if you're losing $22,000 and you happen to be paying tax at the highest rate, you'd be looking at a refund at tax time of about $10,340 or a bit over 10 grand. So obviously at tax time, that particular investor might get 10 grand back in the pocket, top up the offset or top up the savings account and help them cash flow that property through. And again, that doesn't take into consideration there may have been some depreciation on that property, which is a non-cash deduction that may help you get even more money back. But the important thing to look at is what are the property prices doing for that particular investment you're holding onto, and not just what have they done between 2021 and 2025, but what is the future projected growth in that area that your property's in? Is it in a great catchment area for schools? You know, is there public transport development and roads being done? There's all these things that can significantly increase the value of your property apart from just time in the market. That's the other thing to consider, that you might be, you know, negative 20 grand until tax time, you're 10 grand out of pocket. But if your property is going up more than 10% per year in value, you're still ahead. You've got to, as Nick said, find a way to hold onto that property as long as it is a good property and ticks all the right boxes.
And I'm glad you're starting to talk about solutions, because that's really where I wanted to go with this. Like, the opportunity of what you can do is, again, I think review your mortgage. Like, even if you can get it down from, you know, 6.8 to 6.3, it's going to make a difference, right, for you. The other thing that you can do, I'm seeing too many investors take their personal funds to pay that 22 grand. So, and they're even topping up home loans, and there's no tax benefit in doing that. So they're taking money out of the offset that's working for them on the mortgage and really, you know, feeling poorer for it. Whereas what you can do, look at the circumstance. You might be able to increase the investment debt by an extra $25,000 for a year to ride it through. Get a better rate, increase the investment debt so at least it's tax deductible in covering this for a year until rates start to come down. Now, when I say that, you also want to be fiscally disciplined as well. So you go, even if you bought that rate down from 6.8 to 6.3, and you raise the debt by $25,000, you're still virtually paying the same amount of money overall. So you're not in a worse situation. You've just structured the debt accordingly to get you through so you can get to those better times as well. The other thing, like Jace was saying, please see an accountant. So many times people aren't claiming things they could be claiming on their investment. Again, depreciation on the build, depreciation on fixtures and fittings. There's ways to be able to get tax benefits that so often people don't even entertain. So these are the times to do it, to say any money that you can get back into your pocket, legitimate money that should be coming back to you, you want to explore those options on how to get that. And when I look at this couple's situation, just by reducing the rate from 6.8 to 6.3, they're paying $42,525 in interest, but that's now on $675,000. So all the other costs remain the same. So even though we've increased the debt, their cash flow position is actually slightly better at $21,121 loss instead of $22,396 loss. And they've got extra money to ride that 12 months through and get to the other side of it. So they're the sort of things to think about. We all want to sell, and legitimately there are reasons to sell. If you just can't put your head on the pillow at night and you just want to get rid of it, dump some extra equity into the mortgage to support your position, absolutely. But remember, there's a lot of mums and dads out there that have tried to get ahead and haven't gone through the circumstance of this kind of challenge before. And it is a bit of an outlier challenge with 13 rate increases. But again, if you can get to the other side, Melbourne really hasn't climbed on growth on investments or in property in general, 11% in 4 years. That's less than inflation. So people aren't really excited about that. But we will get a kick when rates come down. So you have opportunities to grow wealth on the back end of this, But that's what you got to explore. You got to explore, is this reasonable to do based on your own circumstances? Is it reasonable to sell? And if you are selling, then talk to a financial planner, because if you are getting some form of benefit out of that sale, you need to know where those funds need to go and what sort of benefits you might be able to get from that as well. So get professionals around you so you know your position, and then you can make your play. Make sense?
100%. Couldn't agree more, Marty. If you've been listening to this episode and you think somebody else needs to hear this, please share the Numbers Game podcast to your friends and family. You might have heard the barbecue chat of somebody saying they're struggling with their mortgage rates, and they may not have had the opportunity to have an interest review from a great team like the team at Innovate. So definitely share the info. Don't be a Numbers Game hog and just listen to it for yourself and not tell other people. We'd love to spread the good word of the Numbers Game. Nick, Marty, and myself, we do this because we want to help people have a better future, and we want people to be financially, doing the right thing for them and their family. So like, subscribe, share the word. Until next time, thank you for joining us.
And let's put money back in your pocket, and then you decide what the next move is. Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.